Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the daily rant and radio show. We talk about all of the good, bad, and the ugly of current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and co-host, Craig Hurley. You, our listeners, are invited to call in and stand on our soapbox with us. Call 347-989-0126 between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. That's 347-989-0126. Now, here are your host and creator, Scott Fullerton, and co-host, Craig Hurley.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox. It is Tuesday, July 30th, 2019. I'm your host, Scott Fullerton. In just a second, I'll be joined by my co-host, actor and writer, Mr. Craig Hurley. We appreciate you tuning in today and every day, 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern. For the next hour, we'll talk about the day's news, pop culture, and politics stories that are happening. And you're invited to call in and let us know what's on your mind, either on one of those subjects or one of your own. Give us a call at 347-989-0126. That's 347-989-0126. So let's jump up on my soapbox and start talking. Craig Hurley, how the heck are you?
I am doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Thank you for asking. What's happening in your neck of the woods?
It's flat. I am in an undisclosed location currently. I cannot tell you where I am. But what I can tell you is it's 110 motherfucking degrees. That I can fucking tell you. I'm still on a swearing binge. Is that a binge? Are you there, dude?
I can see that. I can hear that.
You can hear that.
Let's get over that. Let's get over that quickly.
Oh, no. There's still too much douchebaggery out there.
Unfortunately, there's always going to be douchebaggery. There's going to be plenty of it all of the time, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is 110 where I am located currently. 110.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a little
nice
warm. We are having
how are things over there in Ohio?
Humidity and thunderstorms right now. We have a little bit of rain happening right
Excellent.
Now and 88 degrees. So, yeah, a little bit
Just
of
as I predicted.
A little bit of weather, exactly.
Yeah.
As you
You've got
said.
A low pressure system just sitting over there in Canada, just right above you, drawing up those storms
yeah.
from the south.
But it was a nice drive. It was like I opened up the sunroof and rolled down the windows and just let it go today. I went out and about and did my errands. I went to a little bit of Amish country and I bought some food. I got some mixes and stuff that they do so well out there. So it was a good day so far. Good day had by
cool.
all so far here in Northeast Ohio. So let's jump into it. Let's jump in. We kind of got cut off yesterday talking about
No, we just went all the way to a hard stop.
We did. Yep. We were like had to just stop it.
Just
we were out
brakes.
Of time. Had to slam on the proverbial brakes. But we can go ahead and get back into it because I did some research last night, so I'm ready to go.
Excellent.
So you
cool.
tell us where you want to start, and I will jump in.
Do you want to start where we left off?
I'm trying to remember where we left off because it was such a hard stop. I can't remember. I had to go right into my other show. Where did we leave off?
It was kind of judgy-wudgy. Judgy-wudgy was a bear. A big gay bear.
You're right. Okay,
nice
I think
bear.
You're right. I think you're right. It was. All right, no problem. No, I think you're right.
It's just that, you know, like the entire Republican Party wants you as a gay man to stop being gay. And it is not, it's not your choice. It's the way you were born. And it's similar to me in defense of legalizing drugs, that drug addicts can't stop what they're doing. And they're going to continue to do it regardless of illegal or legal. So, and they can't stop
right.
what they're doing. And people like me, I'm considered a drug addict. I smoke cigarettes. I drink caffeine. I'm not an alcoholic because I don't like alcohol, which is a legal drug. But I do smoke weed. I do smoke marijuana. And I do it for mainly medicinal purposes. I used to get migraines every single day of my life, debilitating migraines, to the point where I couldn't go to school, I couldn't function, couldn't do anything, can't drive. All I can do is lay there and be in pain. And then I smoked some weed, and my migraines went away. So now I do it preventative to make sure that I can actually function, that I actually have some type of quality of life. So I can't stop. And there's a lot of drug addicts out there that can't stop, and they don't want to for one reason or another. A lot of times it's medicinal. And, yeah, they abuse the hell out of it. And I've had friends who have died of legal drug overdoses and illegal drug overdoses, both. And to me, it's like if you're going to abuse it, you're going to die anyway. And that's not under my control, nor is it my judgment of you as a drug addict. You know, I mean, you go ahead and do the amount that you want to. And if it kills you, it kills you. We can try to regulate it as best you can and give you only certain amounts. But like you said yesterday, you know, that people will go out and try to, you know, beg, borrow, and steal for it. But I don't see that with the legalization of weed. Nobody's going out and, you know, in the places where it's legal, nobody's going out and trying to get more. They get great deals at the dispensaries.
Right.
There's really good deal. So nobody's doing that. And as far as the black market on that is, you know, there's always going to be a black market as long as you have underage people who are choosing to smoke. And when they shouldn't, it's illegal. But we do because we're people. So, and humans do. That's something that I've learned in my life that, you know, people do. And irregardless. Oh, I hate that word. It's not even a word. Regardless of whether or not something is legal, you know, and so that's my argument on it. You know, that, and I think that's where we were leaving off, is that I can't judge people for being who they are, you know, and
right.
trying to be the best people that they see themselves as, even if it's a drug, even if it's a drug problem. I mean, we've got some seriously professional people, especially in the entertainment business, who are loaded all day long on all sorts of stuff. This is no secret. Aaron Sorkin got busted at Burbank Airport with a crack pipe and mushrooms. So, and that's Aaron Sorkin, dude. He's one of the greatest writers. He's one of the greatest directors. He's one of the greatest producers out there in the entertainment business. All of his stuff is quality. So, you know, it's hard for me, you know, to be, like, judging on that. And that's where my problem was with you doing that. Because, you know, you don't want people judging you for you. And yet the entire Republican Party is judging you. You know, they're all like, you can stop doing this anytime. And you're like, no, I can't stop doing this. I was born this way. Leave me alone. So, and that's
exactly the way
you should be.
Right. I'll give my take. And I hope people call in on this. Give us a call, 347-989-0126.
Yeah,
I'd love to hear people's opinions.
I had a really long conversation with a friend of mine yesterday just based on this. And she was like, you want to legalize heroin? And I'm like, yeah, because then you actually can get an idea of what the problem actually is. And you can actually help those people. And then you get doctors involved and all the, you know, all these different things. And we had a half hour long conversation, dude. So, yeah, I'm hoping people call in 347-989-0126.
I hope they do. Well, I got to give you my revelations here. I decided, we ended a hard stop yesterday and you accused me of being a little judgy at the end. And so I had to sit back and check myself a bit. So I did.
Right.
And I actually thought about it and I did a lot of research last night. And I think I grew a little bit, and I'm going to tell you where I'm coming down on that.
Wow.
I've read a lot. I thought about it a lot, and I have decided that I am now for decriminalizing all drug use.
Wow. Excellent.
And
dude.
I'll tell
you
why.
And that's just because of our
I'm gonna give you,
and your research.
There's a lot of caveats. There's a lot of caveats involved, but I want to give you some opinions of stuff I've learned. But first off, in my research, I have learned a lot of things. One that, as you said, these heroin and cocaine were used for a lot of other purposes and were not criminalized until the 1900s. So they were used for a long time and a lot of things.
Yep.
So it's not like this is something that's been criminalized forever and that turning it over would
just
erase all this precedent.
When prohibition came around and all these people were like, oh, you need to stop doing everything. Yeah, how'd that work out?
Right.
People
and
rioting,
statistics are
crazy.
Showing that that prison populations went in, I think it was 1990 to 2010, or 1980 to 2000. It was a 20 or 30 year period.
It jumped because of nonviolent drug-related crimes.
Inmate population went from 500,000 in the U.S. to 2 million.
Wow.
In the U.S.
And the majority of those were.
But the thing was that drug use did not increase with it. So that's the statistic that got my mind.
Use did not. Wow.
Because of the criminalization of it is what caused this to happen. It wasn't that people were doing more drugs in the last 20 years. Same amount of people baseline is basically still doing it. But because of the quote-unquote war on drugs that Nixon started and everyone else went, the criminalization stepped up for the last 20 or 30 years, and we've increased our prison population fourfold. And that's just wrong. I just think that that's wrong. So in my
a lot of it is different ethnicities. So a lot of it are blacks and Latinos.
Well, it's disproportional black. It's disproportional people of color
unfair.
For sure. That's for very sure. It's definitely disproportionate of by race. And some of the things and just early parts of reading that I forgot to go before this. But the prohibition came about because of racism. That cocaine was actually brought about when we had a lot of Asian immigrants coming in who introduced opioids to this country because they had their own little opioid break, and that's how they relaxed. And so in order to control this population, they did the prohibition on opioids. And then when the black population, the slaves were freed and they were becoming actual citizens, that's when heroin started to be getting they blamed it on the blacks for heroin, and so they did prohibition on that. And then with the Hispanics, that's when weed started happening, and did the prohibition with weed. So it happened. It's happened along racial lines, which I never knew before.
American Indians have been doing ayahuasca, doing peyote, doing mushrooms, smoking weed for at least 1,000 years in North America.
Right.
At least 1,000 years.
So, doing
everything that's out there that's available.
Right. So I learned all this through my research. So I have come to the realization that, and I read what the difference would be criminalizing and non-criminalizing it. And I think non-criminalizing it would stop the overpopulation of jails. I don't agree with all of the panacea you said it was going to happen and change everything. But I think it should. Laws are laws and criminal. If you OD and if you are on drugs and get in a car wreck, that's a whole set of laws. That's someone being irresponsible. You're not being
that's a DUI.
In jail because
that's a DUI.
Of drugs.
And
you're being in
what
jail.
What happens when you legalize is that adults actually get to take responsibility for the drug that they're using. And adhere to those laws that are already in place, like DUI. Driving under the influence.
So I think possession and usage should be decriminalized. That's my thoughts I've come down on. Possession and usage. But
using it against
the law, DUI, like you said, becoming in a wreck, doing something and stealing, obviously, because I'm drugged, then that's something. But that's a different law altogether. That's not actually a drug law. That's another set of laws. So this
yep.
is where my thought process have gone. I still am judgy. I still think I don't 100% take your analogy between Republicans and gays, because I honestly cannot change that. You can't honestly go to a treatment person place and stop doing drugs. So there is a possibility to change your drug usage.
Yeah, but I actually
it's not an innate thing. You become addicted. You become addicted. It's not an innate thing. Mine's an innate thing. I'm not addicted to being gay. I just don't want to go suck dick. That's not a bad word. I'm not addicted to that. You're addicted to an opioid or a substance, something you can change. So I think that so I don't agree with your analogy 100%. I understand where it's coming from.
There's a lot of people that can't. There's a lot of people that drug is the only thing that gets them through life. It's the only thing that gives them quality.
And like I said, you can find a way to. I think there's ways you can do stuff.
I don't know. I don't know.
But I have no problem. Like I said, if you do it in your own,
if we're talking about
do it in your own thing, and you're not hurting anybody else with it, I have changed my mind completely on drugs. Less than 24 hours, I have changed my thought process completely.
As far as decriminalization and recreational use.
As far as decriminalization and recreational use, exactly.
Yeah.
And personal
responsibility. I love that,
dude.
I love that.
So,
I'm proud of you.
Thank
you.
I'm glad. I appreciate you forcing me to look at it that way. And I actually took the time to do it. And I wish people would do that for anything they disagree with. I hope they would look it up. I really hope someone would take the time to study it and actually read on something and come up with an informed decision for themselves. A lot of people may read on it and not. There's stuff on the other side, too, that I saw some points on, but I thought there was more points on decriminalizing it. I mean, there's literature good and bad on there, but I thought for most part, if you look at all literature and take it in as a whole, I think it falls more on the side for me personally to decriminalize it. So I just hope the lesson learned would be people would study on something they disagree with before they just blatantly disagree with it for no reason whatsoever, but just their own thought or have they been conditioned to think. So anyway, that's my thought on it. That's where I'm at. You've changed my mind.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm really proud of you. Really proud of you.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
I am proud of myself for taking a deep dive into it. Like I said, anyone can do it. All you got to do is research it. Then come with as long as it's your own personal opinion after you've done research, then you can believe whatever you want to believe, right? I'm not going to disagree with your beliefs, and maybe I'll get some understanding for it. I mean, agree with that 100%, but at least I'll understand what's going on. So just be informed.
And
now I'm more informed.
Especially with privatized prisons, I don't know if you looked up any of that information, but privatized prisons, which there's more of them now than there definitely should be, they need to be shut down. It shouldn't happen ever. There shouldn't be privatized. People aren't.
I like them called by their other name, which is for-profit prisons, because that's what they are.
For-profit.
People trying to make a profit off people.
Privatized
is the socially acceptable word, but for-profit is what they really are. They're for-profit prisons, and it's another wording.
I call it for-profit, too. I like that.
So, no, I agree 100%. Yeah. No,
that shit needs to stop.
Right. No, it's incentivized to do it. Yeah. It's incentivized to keep people in jail
for no reason.
I don't agree. Right. So anyway, that's our talk on drugs, guys. Give us a call, 347-989-0126. Let us know if you agree, disagree, or what your points are.
If you agree or disagree, Either way, come stand on this soapbox.
Either way, stand on the soapbox. So anyway, let's move on. I'm glad we were able to finish that discussion. I thought it was a good discussion yesterday. I'm sad we had to end it as abruptly as we did, and I wanted to come back and finish up with it. So
we
are good there. Let's see. Where do we want to go here?
Sometimes you have to do that, especially when it gets heated. So, you know,
right.
sometimes
that's a nice thing too about coming
running up to the very end.
Right. And it's a good thing about doing the show 5 days a week. We don't have to hold it up for a week where 8,000 other things happen between time to make it really less relevant.
No, we can.
This is something we were talking about yesterday, so that's nice.
Just
like
do what we just did. Talk about it for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. Yeah, about what we were talking about yesterday. And then actually, like you just did, got yourself more informed. And, you know, and got some more information and figured some stuff out. So, no, that's really cool. Yeah, as far as what's going on, we just jump into pop culture. It does look like Lori Loughlin is going to jail. I try to say that as much as I possibly can. because it's my opinion that Lori Loughlin shouldn't be working right now. And that $500,000 that she gave to USC is Katie Barberi's money, because they didn't give her any residuals for Every Which Way, and Fuller House would not be on the air without Every Which Way getting 6 million views and giving Full House 6 million views in the first 5 minutes of Full House, when Full House ain't had any views since 1980, whatever the hell, when they were on in the first place. So that $500,000, look, when you misuse the monies that are given to you, and when it's really blood money, when that's monies that should have been given to Katie for residuals on Every Which Way, yeah, look what happens. You get caught. You freaking get caught. So there's some other people down the line that are going to get hit by that too when it comes to the Every Which Way money. Dude, they made $160 million on that show, selling it to other countries, and it was done non-union in Miami. And it, they didn't pay any of their actors any residuals. And that's how we survive. That's how actors survive. Because it's few and far between these gigs.
All right. Now, well, we've talked about that before. I think you're exactly right. But let's I do want to jump on real quick of piggyback a little bit on what you said about the GOP being against LGBTQ population.
Yeah.
Representative Denver Riggleman, a Republican representing Virginia, the state of Virginia's 5th district, on Monday received a vote of no confidence from the Cumberland County Republican Committee because he officiated a same-sex wedding for two campaign volunteers. The state party tried to censor him over the weekend. They called an emergency meeting that this guy performed a same-sex wedding, which is legal in the United States, by the way, these days.
Right.
But they wanted to censor him for doing it because it was against the GOP's party platform for LGBT marriage. And so they tried to censor him. Only 4 people voted for that, so that didn't work. So now this county in Virginia, Cumberland County Republican Committee, which is a nothing thing, has decided to vote no confidence on him, which I think is a little amusing. So, yeah, it's still
it's
GOP against the gays.
All,
you're right 100%
on
that.
It's not all of the Republican Party, because I see, you know, because there's certain
no,
individuals.
It's
just
not,
like the woman that I was talking to last night.
Right.
She was like, I don't care if you know, someone's gay. I don't have a problem with that. I do care if they're out there just doing heroin because they want to. And I'm like, why do you care if someone else is doing heroin? So we had a long conversation about that. But she, you know, there's a lot of people in the Republican Party that are like, I don't care if someone's gay. That's not what this is about.
No, there's a lot of people. So, but like I said, unfortunately, it is the party plank. It is in their GOP plank.
Yeah, it's just that their leader is anti-gay.
Right. Right, exactly.
He is their leader.
So anyway, I want to piggyback on that. What else we got going on? Of course, since we're in politics, we have the Democratic debates where the 150 candidates are going to be talking the next two nights on CNN this time. There's going to be 8 to 10 p.m. tonight and tomorrow on CNN.
Tonight is the all-white party, isn't it, of the Democrats?
Exactly.
They're all the white
in Detroit. Coming from Detroit, it's the all-white party when the biggest news of the day is Trump taking on Elijah Cummings and being a racist.
Yeah.
We're going to have the all-white party talk about that tonight for the first night. So that's going to be interesting.
Wow. They couldn't be a little more inclusionary. I mean, they've got, you know, a number of – in the second night, it's Kamala Harris and Cory Booker and –
And it was a random draw. It's not a purposeful thing, but just the optics are not good. I mean, CNN made a big deal of doing the random draw on live TV, which I thought was a non-event to begin with. But, it was a totally random thing to happen. But it just – the optics are really, really bad. So we'll see what happens tonight as the – one of the leading debate right now is about racism and the President of the United States and Elijah coming in Baltimore. And all the white dudes are going to be talking about it first before the other people talk about it. So that's going to be interesting tonight.
Before the actual people of color get to talk about it. That's freaking genius. Somebody screwed up there.
It'll be fun to see. We have three people that I'm interested in hearing from tonight. We have what's her name? Warren, Sanders, and Buttigieg up tonight. And
Buttigieg
Amy Klobuchar.
There. Okay.
I still like Amy Klobuchar. She's on tonight. And I think Beto's on tonight. But the three that I'm really interested in listening to the most are to see what Buttigieg, Warren, and Sanders have to say, and Klobuchar to an extent. But I really don't care about the other 6-7, to be honest. And then tomorrow night will be interesting with Booker, Biden, Harris, and I think those are the only three I really care about tomorrow, to be honest with you. We'll see what happens. But it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to let them, as opposed to the first debates, they're going to let them do an opening talk and a closing talk. They didn't allow that on the first debate that MSNBC did or the NBC networks did. So each candidate will be able to say something in the beginning, which I think is a little more fair. They can talk about what they're interested in to give them a hint of it, because they're not going to get all the questions with 10 people on there in a 2-hour time limit. You just can't get to it. So doing the opening and closing, I think, is a little more fair. That'll happen both nights. The rules get much more restrictive for the third debate coming up next month or the month after. I think it's going to eliminate probably 10 people from the debate, if not in between 5 to 10 people are going to be eliminated just by the rules for it, by how many fundraisers, how many donors you have to have, or how much percentage you have to have. They're kind of upping that each debate, which I think is good. That's going to help kind of tear down the nominees a bit, because I really think I personally at this point I want to win the Senate. I don't care about the presidency anymore. I just want to make sure that we can't let him get away with anything, and I would hate to have all these people running ruin chances of winning the Senate back because they're so concerned with we have four senators running and they need to concentrate on being reelected as far as I'm concerned. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting tonight.
Just so that you stop him from doing whatever the hell he's thinking about doing.
Right. Exactly. All right, that's a good stopping point. We'll jump into something.
We're going to have to deal with another 4 years after this.
Exactly. We don't want that.
If the Electoral College continues to go along the lines that it is right now. So. Let's hope some states
we need
can get
to rise
their shit together
up.
And be like, guess what? We're not relying on the Electoral College. We're relying on the popular vote. So good luck.
Well, we're 29 minutes in. We're going to take a break. It's a good stopping point there. We're going to play a little Rise from Brian Justin Crum and Pentatonix and a group of friends doing a cappella version of Rise by Katy Perry, who is in the news when we come back. You're listening to Standing on My Soapbox right here on the Left is Straight Radio Network. Be back in 3 minutes.
I won't just survive. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story. I'm beyond the archetype. Don't doubt it, don't doubt it. Oh.
All righty, we are back. That was Katy Perry's Rise, and Katy Perry's in a little bit of financial trouble right
now.
Dude,
I didn't even get an opportunity to have a cigarette. The hell? Aww. That song was really quick.
It was very fast. Anyway,
very
a
fast.
Jury on Monday found that Katy Perry's 2013 hit Dark Horse improperly copied the drumline and some stanzas from a 2009 Christian rap song.
Wow.
Set up arguments how much the singer and other defendants will owe. It was brought back by a 9-member federal jury against Katy Perry. It came 5 years after the two co-authors sued her for it in 2013. It was stolen from a Christian rock song called Joyful Noise.
Joyful
it's a great
Noise.
Release under the stage name Flame.
That's okay. It's hard to say.
Right. And the case now goes to the penalty phase where the jury will decide how much Katy Perry and her producers have to pay for copyright infringement. The attorneys argued that the beat and the instrumental line featured through nearly half of the Dark Horse song by Katy Perry were substantially similar to those of Joyful Noise.
And the jury agreed.
Yeah. So.
I know that musicians sample, things from people all the time. And a guy like Kid Rock actually brags about doing it and never having to pay a dime to the musicians that he steals from. It sucks that actually happened. I would much rather I'm a musician too, but not a very good one. But if I had anything that was a hit, if I became like a rock star, I would probably like pay homage to those people that I'm ripping off instead of
ripping
them off.
Right.
You can more than afford to do that for somebody in the music industry.
Right. And it's done so much. There are very specific laws on how much you can sample, how much you can get away with. I mean, my buddy has made a living off of making parodies. He knows parody and copyright law more than anyone I know, because that's all he does. He does parodies of different movies. He's done like scene for scene remakes of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, but he's changed just enough where he can't get into copyright laws by different things that he said, even though the scenes are the same, words are different, things like that. So, I mean, there are set laws, so you need to be aware of those things.
It's also in the way you film it. It's also in the way you film it. If you don't use the exact, same type of filming style and all of that, you have to change it up just enough to make it your own. And then you're no longer infringing on that copyright.
Right. And we talked about that a week or so ago with Kelly Clarkson's recommendation of Taylor Swift, who was upset that her old manager bought her entire songbook. Kelly Clarkson told Taylor, just redo it with a different color of the cover and change this and it's back
to
yours again.
Do them all acoustic. I forgot what they called those. MTV's, what they call those.
Oh, Unplugged?
Unplugged. Do an Unplugged. and then re-release it with a different picture on the cover, and you've got your material back.
Exactly. So there you go. So there's that.
Yeah.
What else going on here?
I don't know if they'd be able to remake Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. If that was the case,
hilarious.
Lost against your friend.
it's pretty hilarious. His little reboot of it. He's done the trilogy. I mean, there's another one. I don't remember all the things, but he's starting to do the third one now. There's Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, one other one I can't remember the name of, and the third one he's getting ready to shoot now, but he's having fun with them.
Nice.
Let's see. What else could we talk about? Another kind of pop culture-ish, kind of in the news. Capital One was hacked with your information, your Capital One.
Yeah, 100 million
credit card
people.
Holder,
if you're a Capital One credit card holder, you are, then Capital One owes you some money, and you got hacked. Right. Also, what's the name of the website where you look at all your credit, where you look at your credit
scores?
Well,
Equifax
scores,
was just given.
Equifax.
Equifax.
Yeah, dude.
Right.
Yeah,
you
no, there's a settlement out there.
You get $125.
Well, that's
bucks.
Just the basics. That's the basics. Well, everybody is actually entitled to almost up to $20,000, but you have to have had your, your identity stolen and the credit card used and stuff like that. I mean, there has to be some damages that you can show. So that's, but everybody gets $125. If you just, all you got to do is fill out the stuff and it's your $125. Anybody who uses that service, which is anybody who wants to check their credit.
Well, you figure it was 110 million people. There's only 300 man, woman, and children in the country, I think, right? You'd think almost everybody
that's of age
is part of it.
Yep.
Yeah, has been taken. Because a third of them are probably kids or under 18. So
at
least a third of the country. So anyone, I think you're going to be eligible for that. But this this Capital One, there's nothing, there's no lawsuit yet. It'll happen. Just letting people know now that they have been hacked. But the weird thing was they caught the girl that did it because the girl was bragging about doing it. It's a girl that did it. Her name is Paige Thompson. And she actually bragged on social media about doing it. And she talked about that and her cats. And so the authorities were able to track her through social. She's a former software engineer from Seattle. And she was arrested Monday in it. But
why would she brag about doing it?
I don't know. I mean, you think it's this big conglomerate? Because usually when you think of hacking and being done, that it's this bunch of trolls in China or Russia or someone trying to get your information.
Right,
or
now it's somebody
at least Chicago mobsters trying to get your information. And this is a single software engineer from Seattle that decided to break it and do one of the biggest data breaches that they've ever seen at Capital One, just because
maybe she's looking for a job from the U.S. government and couldn't get in any other way.
There you go.
At least now they know that she's professional when it comes to this hacking stuff. So, I mean, she's really good.
And they do pay for hackers. The government pays for hackers.
Yes.
And
oh,
that's
absolutely.
That's a whole job industry of people
gotta fight
try
the
to see systems are secure. Yeah.
Yep.
There's a lot of people who pay big
yourself.
Money to hackers to see if their systems are secure. So,
maybe she's just looking for a job. And you know what? She probably has one now.
It could be a big career move once she gets out
on
of prison, unless she can negotiate.
No, I wouldn't even put her in jail. I'd take her out of jail and put her to work immediately. Set up those defensive systems. Set it up so nobody else can hack us. They had an 11-year-old in Florida. They had not in Florida. An 11-year-old. I don't have her name. I don't have any of my stuff in front of me. But it just kind of goes along with this that she's a hacker and she hacked into Florida's system, election system, and changed the votes in 10 minutes.
10 minutes? Oh my goodness.
10 minutes. She hacked into Florida's election system and in 10 minutes and changed votes.
Wow.
Was able to change votes. An 11-year-old. And she's from the United States. So, you know, there's some really smart people out there and they just need a job making sure that that doesn't happen. That no one is capable of doing that.
That is crazy. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, these hackers can do amazing things. And I have a VPN network on my phone now just because I don't have that anything really important to steal, but just the fact that you can do it is kind of incredible.
I'm sorry, that was an 11-year-old boy. I'm pretty sure that was an 11-year-old boy, not an 11-year-old girl. Emmett Brewer, I think is his name. Yeah, give that 11-year-old a job at the Pentagon. he's smarter than everybody else. He broke into the Florida's election system, a mock election system. They did it on purpose. They wanted to see how fast he could break into it. That's how smart he is.
Right. That's amazing.
Sorry, yeah.
No, good on him. I think that's cool. That's all part of the same subject here. So yeah, that's hack. There is money to be made in hacking. It's another one of those things. Is it good? Is it bad? You got to research into it, and it can be done both ways. It can be good and bad. So who knows?
There was a guy, and I can't remember his name either. And this is like 30 years ago. He lived in California. He lived in Studio City, actually. And he had hacked into the government's computers, and then they were hunting him down at the same time that he was hacking into it. And he was hacking into them with the Kinko's computers in Studio City. So, and that's how they caught him. They caught him at Kinko's hacking into their computers. I can't remember his name. I wish I could remember his name, because he was hired by the government and to do anti-hacking and to hack into other countries' computers. So, pretty cool.
That is pretty wild.
I can't remember his name.
I love
War
Games.
Like,
the War Games was based on kind of a sort of real story.
Right.
That War Game with Matthew Broderick. We talked about Matthew Broderick the other day. That was a pretty good movie. And that was based on that thing. Someone hacked into it by accident. I mean, that one said the computer was after him, but someone actually did break into a government computer once and was able to do this. So, oh, goody. It looks like North Korea is firing more missiles. I just got an update on my phone. They're doing short projectile missiles. Second
from
time
North
in
Korea?
A week. Yeah.
Yeah, that, I didn't talk about that. On my list, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Alexei, and I can't remember his name, the dude from Russia who was Putin's opposition, Nikolov, Alexei.
Oh, the guy might have been poisoned. The guy might have been poisoned.
Yeah, no, he's saying that he was poisoned in jail. I want to know what happened to him, because he kind of went offline for a while, and then just last week he was picked up at a protest. So he's still alive. I'm glad to see that, because he's Putin's number one opposition. He's constantly causing protests over in Russia, and he just got arrested along with 1,400 other people for protesting,
right.
And because
Alexander
they just want
Litvinenko
an opposition.
Is his name.
Yeah,
Alexander
yeah.
Litvinenko. Yeah,
yeah.
So that was kind of wild. I mean, you heard that happen to the British guy? Isn't that what happened? The British guy got poisoned or something by Kremlin or by something? Or got? I mean, that this is not the first time this has happened.
Oh no,
but
they're constantly poisoning any opposition to them. They're constantly taking out just different people that are supporting them at some point, and then they turn around and they take them out. And I'm, dude, it's just disgusting behavior. We're gonna get back to douchebaggery. We don't want to go there. You're gonna start me swearing again, man.
Well, it is our number 45's best friend over there, so maybe he's better.
I did
hope
say
he 45.
45
of,
is a puppet on that presidential seal that he stood in front of those kids. So he stood in front of that thing for 80 seconds, and it had 45 as a puppet written in Latin is what it had written on it. The two-headed eagle and then golf clubs and some cash and the talons. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Pretty good gotcha right there. I like that a bit.
They need to do that more often, though.
Exactly. I'm running out of news here. There wasn't a big news day today, to be honest with you. Let's see what else is happening.
Shit, I just don't have my list. I just don't have my list with me. I had some shit on there that I was talking about. There's a lot of weather events, if you want to talk about weather, because we've got two hurricanes that are currently in the Pacific. And I think neither of them are going to hit Hawaii, but they may hit a little. And then we've got another thing, another tropical low that is forming over Puerto Rico. Probably going to turn into some tropical storm or Category 1. It doesn't have a lot, because we were talking about that yesterday, the day before. It couldn't be the day before, because that would have been Sunday. How the Sahara Desert from Africa is blowing too much dry air into the Atlantic Ocean. And sand and shit like that. And it just stops hurricanes from forming. but the Caribbean sure seems to be lighting up a lot, and so does the Gulf Coast. It all seems to be very active right there, and I'm pretty sure because of the amount of humidity levels that we've put in there just by dumping oils and plastics. Oh, dude, that's a thing that really bugs the hell out of me. 45 and his plastic straws. Look, I'm stuck in the middle on a lot of this stuff. Dude, what is with that douchebag?
Environmental, not friendly straw.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, these can be recycled. No, they can't. They end up in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Dude, use a stainless steel straw, or better yet, a paper straw. And I'm not talking because of the liberal aspects of who I am. It's a paper straw. The other one's plastic. What are you doing? It takes I don't even know how many years for that plastic to biodegrade. It's forever. And currently, it's killing our oceans. There's a huge garbage patch of plastic straws in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Huge. It's humongous. It's the size of a continent. It's crazy the amount of stuff. And he's selling them to go against liberals. Like, what a douche. That's just killing the planet.
It's just another new norm he's breaking. He's got an entire store on his re-election website with, like, that plastic straw for $15 with T-shirts mocking other people for $30. It's just a president. I mean, it's stupid to a new low a way of raising money, and I don't understand it. It's just kind of
crazy.
Just
a branding. He's just a brand. That's it. He's just a brand.
Which is why he
Isn't that illegal? Yeah, isn't that illegal? A president's not supposed to make money on stupid shit like that.
No, they're doing this through the fundraising for the re-election campaign.
Oh,
that's what makes it illegal.
Fundraising for re-election.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right, whatever. What about the $40 million he still owes contractors in Chicago for that tower that he built right there on the river? What about that one?
Right.
What about that $40 million? Is he going to pay that back ever? Raise some money with some straws and pay that shit back, dude. Those guys, they have to sue him. They got to go through a whole bunch of shit in order to get that money.
There's a whole website
which is just wrong.
Called, I don't even want to say the thing, but it's he has Trump Pence has an entire website where you can buy all this stuff from him, and that's what that straws on and bumper stickers. It's just incredible.
Wow.
Incredible. And everyone does it, but I mean, it's a pack of 10 straws, so it's not one straw for $15. You're getting 10 plastic straws to pollute the environment with for $15.
So
it's only $1.50
a straw.
What a bargain.
Yeah, it's $1.50
a straw.
That's good. And then you can dump it in the garbage, and then it'll end up in the ocean and inside of a whale. Okay. That's all good.
They have
a huge waste of money.
They have a MAGA pet leash for $16, where it says MAGA.
I can't believe we're giving this guy
your leash.
We're giving this guy too much airtime, brother.
I'm telling you.
Way too much airtime.
It's just amazing.
Like,
I mean, everybody
promoting his
items. I can't say it's just him. Everybody has swag, I guess. But it's just embarrassing. I don't know.
It is embarrassing.
I'm really on the fence. Have you heard about the Betsy Ross T-shirt?
No.
Oh, God. I'm really on the fence on it, and I hate to do do another conservative. But Rush Limbaugh, I guess Nike was selling a Betsy Ross flag, and
right.
Colin Kaepernick said it was racist or something, which I don't necessarily agree with.
And then I think they stopped selling it, right?
So they stopped selling it. So Rush Limbaugh decided to sell his own version of
the
Betsy
Ross
flag. It's called Standing Up for Betsy Ross, I think. Stand Up for Betsy Ross T-shirt. $27 for this T-shirt. But he did it with a twist where all of the proceeds.
Breaking it in like a rock star.
Well, but the whole thing is
$27.
All of the proceeds go to a 9/11 victims fund. So
okay.
They've made so that's why I'm on the fence on. It's made $3 million
yeah.
for this thing in 3 weeks. So I have to.
Okay.
I have to.
Is
be
it all going, or are they
it's,
pulling a
it's
Republican
all going.
Party?
Supposedly
and
all
you sure?
Going.
You sure? You sure? They're not
that's
siphoning off
say.
like 2.5 million of the three. You sure? Okay. All right.
That's
I'd like to see it
say.
Actually all end up in the hands of the 9/11 victims.
Yeah, it's called Tunnel to Towers, I guess, is the organization. And supposedly
okay.
every bit of the proceeds goes up to them. So I have
okay.
to give them up for
well,
it
no, that's kind
for
of a good
going
thing.
To there. So, yeah, it's
yeah.
a good thing. $3 million in 3 weeks. He has a huge audience. So if they're able but there has been a lot of knockoffs. And so there are people that
nice.
Are selling it and making knockoffs. But that doesn't go to charity. That's going to people that are just money grabbers. So I'm not as happy.
Right.
I'm happy that he's being knocked off, but I'm not happy it doesn't go to charity. So, yeah. So there's all sorts of ways you can make money off this presidency and off conservatives. But I guess I got to be happy that it's going to a worthy cause. So hats off to Rush Limbaugh for making $3 million in 3 weeks to it for the I Support Betsy Ross T-shirt. So I guess Nike did kind of flub a bit on that. But it's going to a good cause. So, oh, well. And last
yeah,
thing I'll
as
talk
long as
about,
it goes to a good cause.
Yep. Yeah, last thing we'll talk about, we have to get off the air and go to a song here. There was a teacher that was on vacation and out in, I believe it was Arkansas. He was at Diamond State Park in Murfreesboro, Arkansas, where you could actually go diamond hunting. Yeah, you spend $25 to go on this 37-acre diamond place, and he actually found a 2.12-carat unpolished brown diamond. It's only worth $1,000, but it's a 2.12-carat diamond. So good on him
wow.
for finding it. It's worth $1,000
yeah.
to him. Who would have thought you could spend $25 and get a $1,000 diamond while you're diamond hunting at Diamond
wow.
State Park in Murfreesboro, Arkansas? So that's a good way to spend
that's
your
awesome.
Teacher
do
summer
they,
vacation, I think.
Yeah. Do they normally find 2-carat diamonds in Arkansas?
They have found 75,000 diamonds since they've been doing this in the 10 years it's been going on, worth about
wow.
$2.5 million worth. So they're not all big money things, but they're all finding some diamonds. I guess that'd be kind of cool to go diamond hunting and put it in some kind of an earring or a ring or some kind of a chip
yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
there are some
and
there.
That's what that yeah, that's what he's doing with it, right? He's putting it into a ring for his wife.
Yeah, because
like
I said, it's not worth a lot of money, but it's just cool that it's 2.12 carats, and that he can. That,
yeah.
So it'll be a keepsake for sure. And it's worth $1,000, but it's going to be worth more of a memory, I think, than anything else if he puts it into
right.
a piece of jewelry and shines it up or something. So very cool and good on him for that. So congratulations on that. So that's about it. That's all I have. Anything else? You don't have your notes. Anything else you want to do before we head into our last song here? Get ready for an all-new
no.
Left of Straight show?
No. Everybody stay
right,
cool
well,
and stay safe. That's
there you go.
All
thanks
I can,
for listening.
Like,
be aware
recommend.
Of the weather. Research. Anything you want to do, research. I've changed my opinion on drugs. Do the research, guys. We are going to play out with
nice.
Justin Martinelli, The Fall. And thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern. Bye-bye.
Peace.